Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
So as the custom is, let's take our anchor scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for all kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. James chapter 5, verse 17 to 18. Elias was a man subject to like passion as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Last reading, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And we're going to read it together. Are we ready? Are we ready? Hey, am I alone in the church? Oh, you're in the spirit. All right. Okay. Can we go? Praying always with all prayers and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hallelujah. It pleases the Lord that today, as part of our focus on Teach Us to Pray, we will look at what I entitled, or the title of the message is Supplication in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Shall we take a word of prayer? Father, we thank you this morning. As your word come unto us, we pray that you come with power and might and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Our year began with the sub-series, Men Ought to Pray, where we underline the need for which prayer is non-negotiable. By the grace of God, we can confidently say that we have the basic understanding of why men ought to pray always and not faint. Because that scope of series or sub-series gave us at least 5 major headlines that expose us to why men ought to pray. We started with the big deal about prayer. We came to what? Connecting to source. What? Remaining in what? Relationship and what? Effective in what? In purpose. And we came even to a point where we looked at what we called ye are what? God. All these things was to expose us to the reason why men ought to pray. So if you are here, I believe that you know that prayer is a non-negotiable tool as a result of the sub-series Men Ought to Pray. Then we move on from that sub-series to another sub-series where the underlining focus was how we can maximize or how we can be involved in prayer in 2 occasions. So we looked at how we are exposed to prayer, either by what? Corporate gathering or either by what? Personal what? Prayer life. And in that 2 space, we are looking at our efficiency and effectiveness as long as we are involved in prayer, being it in our personal life or being it in what? A corporate gathering. And I told you that corporate prayer requires only how many people? 2. Hallelujah. So by the grace of God, we were exposed to the effective and efficiency in either corporate prayers or personal prayer life. So we move from that sub-series and we are now on our 3rd sub-series. Are you with me? I did this to let you know where we are coming from and where we are heading to. Now, our 3rd series, sub-series in quote, that we are looking at is the pursuit of the rules of engagement. Are we there? Are we there? Yes. We started with the rules of engagement. I explained the concept, the rules of engagement, as not necessarily do's and don'ts, but the things that the Bible has said with regards to the concept of prayer. And this rules of engagement is talking about on what premises, on in what scope should we engage prayer such that it will be very beneficial to us. And the first thing we looked at is the kinds of prayers. Do you remember that one? In the kinds of prayers, we looked at the two broad media through which we can air our prayers, or through whom we can air our prayers. And the first medium was what we called access through the finished work of what? Christ. So we know that we can air prayer, or we can release prayer on the verdict of what? Access, by which is the finished work of Christ. And also so that we can also go on the journey of prayer as a medium by representation, that is based on the authority that Christ has invested in us to represent him on this time realm. We find out that with the first one, the prayer is directed towards who? God. And the second one, it is directed towards what? The devil, circumstances, and what? Situation. So prayer necessarily is not only about communicating with God, but it also talks about how we are able to represent the interest of Christ, exercise authority, exercise the power of God at work in us over the devil, over situations, over circumstances, which challenge our rights and privileges in the kingdom. Hallelujah. And from that kinds of prayer, we move to the next phase of the engagement, that we found out that even though there are two kinds or two broad ways we can leverage on in prayer, there are three levels to which we should approach prayer. And this level describes or defines in the instance what God becomes in our approach to God. So at an instant, when we approach God, he's a father. At another instant, when we approach God, he's a friend. At another instance, when we approach God, he's what? A judge. And we find out that because of these three dimensions to which God can be approached, they are ways we have to understand it, know what we have to do in those ways of approaching God. And we find out that in the course of engaging prayer in levels, we have three things we have to consider. Number one, our posture in that kind of what? Prayer. Number two, our what? The place of the word of God. And number three, what? The language. Today, we want to move on to the next aspect. Now, what we are about to do is going to take so much of our time, and we are going to dwell for some time. Hallelujah. Now, these two, which is the kinds of prayers and the levels of prayers, is very important such that it plays a major effect on the forms of prayers that we are about to look at. Are you with me? Are you with me? So if you still don't have understanding about the kinds of prayers and the levels of prayers, then the forms of prayers that you engage in, you will not be fruitful in it as much as you are expected to be fruitful in it. Hallelujah. But I know that God is going to help us, that we will be what? Fruitful in every form of prayer that we engage in. So today, what we are looking at is to start with the forms of prayer. Now quickly, let me look at what we talk about when we say forms of prayer. This is my definition from my own studies. When we say forms of prayer, we are talking about the actuals of prayer. In mathematics, we have what we call the actuals and the derivative. So we have actual figures and round figures. They are round figures, we call them the derivatives. So we have whole number, decimals. So when we talk of actuals, we are talking of the specific what thing we are talking over here. So when we talk about forms of prayer, we are looking at the actuals of what? Prayer. What exactly we do that we call it prayer. Are we there? Forms of prayer is which we can also call types of prayer, or the various prayer nature that differentiate the specific reasons why we approach God or engage him in communication. Are you with me? Are you on the same page? So what we are coming to talk about also means that we are looking at types of prayers, or the various prayer nature which differentiate the specific reasons why we approach God, or to engage God in communication, or approaching the devil or situations to deal with them. So the reason to which you are approaching God to talk to God, communicate with God, or deal with situation or the devil in your life, that reason in context, you are looking at a form of a prayer. So the reason why we can know that this is a form of a prayer and this is different from this is when we can the separation is on the form of prayer. At the level of prayer, we can do everything. We can go to the Father and talk to the Father. But when we go to the Father and we talk to the Father, the reason to which we are talking to Him will define the form of prayer we are praying. And it's very important that we understand the forms of prayers. Are we there? Are we there? Good. So now, let's look at the Bible, the teachings about forms of prayer. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, we found out that Apostle Paul was exhorting the church through the pastor Timothy. And this church is the church of Ephesus because that is where Timothy was pastoring. And we found out that Paul had a very great need that he wanted them to attend to. And this need was that they must understand the value system of the kingdom. If you study the Bible very well, or the epistles of Paul, you will find out that Paul has a lot of prayers that he has prayed in the epistles. Every chapter, every book of Paul has prayer contest. To the extent that our Father in the Lord has taught us what we call the Pauline what? Prayers. As prayers that are in line with the word of God. They are prayers that Paul prayed for the church. They are prayers that we can also what? Pray them because they are what? Scriptural and what? Spiritual. So when we want to look at the concept of prayer, we can find out that one of the teachers of prayer after Jesus in the Bible is Apostle Paul. He spoke about prayers. But in this very context, he was talking to the pastor young man, the young man called Timothy, that prayer is not just about prayer, but you have to understand some things about prayer. So we see here that Paul was bringing to light the forms of prayer that the pastor must what? Focus on and encourage the church to make it their habit, to make it their value, to make it something that they cannot not negotiate upon. Now, let's read. I exhort therefore that what? First of all, what? Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and not giving of thanks be what? Be made for all men. So here we know that prayer is, we can make prayers. You read the book of Acts. If you read the book of Acts, you find out that prayer was made on behalf of what? Apostle Peter when he was arrested. So Paul was saying that if we want to make prayers, these are the forms of prayers. Now you look at, he categorized them into four. The first is what? Supplication. Second is what? Prayers. The third one is what? Intercession. And the last one is what? Thanksgiving. So in Paul's presentation about forms of prayer or the reasons to which we pray, he gave four categories. So we are going to look at this one. We are going to look at them and other further out definitions in the Bible. Hallelujah. Now this form, especially supplication, thanksgiving and prayers, was a common practice in the Old Testament, which is carried along with the New Testament believer. So what Paul was talking about to Timothy was not something new. It was something that was already a habit in the Old Testament. Let's read some scriptures. Let's go to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 6 verse 29. So forms of prayers is not a new thing that Paul was introducing. It was actually a practice even in the Old Testament, that they had forms, types of prayers that they pray. And I've already explained to you what form of a prayer is, the actuals, the real nature of prayer. Can we read? Then what supplication soever shall be made of any man or of any of all thy people Israel, when everyone shall know his own sore and his own grief, and shall spread forth his hands in this house. So here Solomon was telling God that should any man come to this house, such a man may offer out supplication or out prayers. Can you see it over there? So you can see that supplication and prayers is over there. Another place I can give you is the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 6 verse 9. Let's read Psalms chapter 6 verse 9. The Lord had heard my heart supplication. The Lord will receive my heart, my prayer. Now if you study the book of Psalms, you find out that Psalms talks about thanksgiving. Is that not it? And we can see people like Moses, people like Daniel, making intercession on behalf of people. So forms of prayer was already something that was in the Bible or in the Old Testament. So Paul was not bringing to them something that was new to the practices of prayer. And let me tell you, prayer is not the New Testament order, but there is a way we pray in the New Testament that is different from the way they pray in the Old Testament. Are we there? Are we there? Good. Fine. So we have to know that Apostle Paul did not send them a detail. So you see that if you study the epistles of Paul, you'll find out that Paul never in any of his teachings gave details on or prescribed details on how prayer should be offered. He just gave us general knowledge or head knowledge about prayer. This is very important because many people think that prayer is a mechanical order. No, prayer is organic. Prayer is organic because from what we read in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18, said making supplication in what? The spirit. You cannot mechanize spiritual things. That's why I'm very careful with what I'm doing here. Are we on the same page? Yes, I'm very careful because some people may take it out of context and think that this thing we are doing, what I'm teaching, is a mechanical order. You will fail. What we are doing here is to help you to understand and cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Because the best prayer to pray is the prayer the Holy Spirit has put on your heart. So if the Holy Spirit placed on your heart a prayer of supplication, the question is, to what extent can you be fruitful in it? How can you cooperate with Him to be effective in it? It is by understanding. So what we are doing here is to give us the understanding on how we can cooperate with the Holy Spirit. So if you study the epistles of Paul, in his teachings of prayer, even in the teachings of Jesus, there were no details on how men should yield, like other religions that they have certain rites and regulations you have to observe before you. That's why there are not even specific times for prayer. Is there a specific time in the Bible for prayer? You can pray anytime, pray anywhere, pray any day. That some times are very sensitive. There are no specific posture that you have to pray. You can choose this. You can choose this. You can go this way. So please, when you go for prayer meetings and people are giving their Kung Fu and their Chinese styles, God didn't define any posture of prayer. We can just, physical posture. So I want you to, so you find out in the teachings of Apostle Paul, he never gave them. So the reason is that he believed and he knew that, first of all, the people are exposed to the word of God. Who is to guide them? Number two, the spirit of supplication, which is the Holy Spirit, is upon them. Who is enough to direct them in prayer? So there was no need to teach them certain rules they must abide as believers in terms of prayer. Are we there? Because the Holy Spirit is in you. There's what we call the spirit of what? Supplication. It is the duty of the Holy Spirit to direct your path. The Bible says, for we know ought not how to what? Pray. But the Spirit ought himself. So Paul never gave details about how prayer and how the individual should be tied to prayer. No. He just gave a general knowledge. And that this general knowledge was on the forms of what? Prayer. Was on the forms of what? All Paul did is to give them general knowledge on prayer and emphasize that they have to place it as the first thing in their life. So the reason why Paul was talking about forms of prayer in this context was to teach the believer the value system. That was all. And you know what the value system of the believer is? The first things first. So in the life of the believer, prayer must be the first thing. And he was giving them the forms of prayer. So if nothing at all, supplication. Is that not it? If nothing at all, prayers. If nothing at all, what? Intercession. If nothing at all, giving of thanks. And today, we want to take the first one, which we call the prayer of what? Supplication. One of the forms of prayer Paul mentioned in the book of 1 Timothy was what? Supplication. What is supplication? Prayer of supplication is a heartfelt, honest, and humble request. I took this definition from Kenneth Hagin, and I like it very well. It's very powerful. A heartfelt, honest, and humble request. We bring before God and not just any mere casual request. Follow. The underlying point is what? Heartfelt, honest, and humble request, not casual. Are we there? Do we get it? Now, these four prayer topics you spoke about here, see, the prayers over here stands for the other dimensions of prayer. Paul put the rest of other prayers into one thing. Prayer of forgiveness, prayer of consecration. We are going to break down that prayers. But supplication was separated here. That's why we are dealing with it. When we say you are making supplication, it is not like you have come to God and you must make mere what? Request. It should be a heartfelt. Something that is born from the heart. Something that is an honest request. Something that you come in all humility to make that request. A casual request is a request that you make, and it's the word casual itself qualifies it as casual. You are not serious about it. If you want to understand casual request and heartfelt honest request, you can use Hannah's life as an example. Can we examine Hannah for some few minutes? If you read the book of 1 Samuel, you find out that Hannah was barren. And in her barrenness, she didn't accept it. The Bible said that for every year, when they go to Shiloh, she prays about it. She what? But as much as she prayed about it, her condition never changed. Why? That instance where she was asking God or making a request to God, it was in a state of what? Casualness, or if there's a word like that, she was just casual about it. She was not serious about it. It didn't move God. Do you know why? What moves God is the heart of man, not the words. If you want to move God, it must be something born from your heart. God does not move, the words of men does not move God. It is the heart. Don't forget that he told Samuel that men look at what? I look at the heart. So anything that is coming out of your mouth must be born from the heart. Until one day, she decided to speak to God from the heart. The Bible said the condition, the posture of a prayer was like a drunkard, because that's how the priest saw it. And she told the priest that, "I am pouring out my heart." The moment you pour out your heart in all honesty before God, we call that prayer, in a request, we call that prayer what? Supplication. Many a times people think that they are making supplication to God. No, they are not. Because it is not born from the heart. So you can come with your request, and you can come. God will look at, is this guy serious with me? God is not listening to the words, so he listens to your heart. In fact, in the spirit, the organ of communication is heart. God listens to your heart. So don't think that you have come to make mere words. Oh, Father, I bring this before you. It doesn't move God. Hannah said, "I have come to pour out my heart before God." When you get to that point that you can pour out your heart, that is when the thing is coming from the innermost part of you. That is what God sees as what? Supplication. And David said, "He shall answer my heart's supplication, and he shall receive my prayers." I pray for you. Any heartfelt, any prayer that is born out of your heart, any request that you have placed before God out of your heart, may you make that confession that David has made in the name of Jesus. So a form of prayer, one of the reasons we approach God to pray is because there are things within our heart that we want to pour out to God as a request. When we go to God in that form, we call that form of prayer out supplication. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the description of supplication, James, the apostle, in the book of James, chapter 5, verse 17 to 18, spoke about the posture or the kind of prayer Elijah prayed. So Elijah was a man subjected to like passion, as we are, and he prayed what? Earnestly. That's a heartfelt. So the reason why heavens was locked was because a man prayed out from the deepest part of his heart. See,
Be very careful. That's why they say be very careful when people are broken hearted and they pray. That prayer is not mere words. When you hurt people. Do you know why God said that if you hurt the orphan or the fatherless, I will come after you? Because those people, when you, it gets to them, it is out of their deep that they communicate to God. When you let people communicate to God out of their deep concerning you, you are finished. Elijah couldn't take it anymore. How the people of Israel have turned away from God and they have become servants of Baal. His heart was so broken and said, Lord, you have to shut the heavens. The Bible said he prayed earnestly. Deepest. The earnest prayer we're talking about is not about sweating and screaming. It is how the heart, the posture of the heart, the depth of the heart with the request. And the Bible said that prayer makes what? Tremendous what? Power. Tremendous what? If you want to move God to see the power of God, let it be a heartfelt prayer. And when that heartfelt prayer is a request, it becomes what? A supplication. Are we on the same page? So don't go to God. See, this thing I'm talking about is serious. People go to God. Father, thank you. Father, I bless your name. Father, I come to you this morning and I pray that, Lord, you grant me that job. God will sit in heaven and look at you. Say, for their lips, it's within by their hearts. The reason why God don't answer that prayer is that from the heart. You are already in your heart. You already have somebody you are counting on. Let me end it there. In your heart, you already have your plan B. When David said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From where cometh my help? He said, for where cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, God. See, when we talk of heartfelt prayer, it is where you know deep within you. God can, you see, you can't lie to God, though. The Bible said, for all Christians are bare before him. We are all naked before God. Even whilst you are here, you have wear clothes, but you are still naked before God. From your hearts. Don't shout Jesus. That is the truth. He said, all Christians are naked. So you are naked. So when you come before God, he is looking at your heart. So your prayer is religious because you want to fulfill all righteousness. So Father, I come to put requests, but within my heart, I know that I have my own plans. Do you know what the Bible says? Commit your plans into the hands of the Lord. Let us understand the concept of supplication. Don't go to God with a request where you know that your heart is not with him. It's not from your heart. You be honest with yourself. The day that you prayed that prayer passionately, I'm not certain, deep within you, didn't you see God quickly responding to you? And the day you pray it casually, when you see it, did it happen? Did it happen? So supplication is a heartfelt thing. The Bible says when it is done, it makes tremendous power out available. Now we should know that supplication falls under the kind of prayer where we approach God on the basis of the finished work of Christ. Are you there? So I'm connecting. So anytime you are approaching God to make supplication, you know that you are approaching God based on the finished work of what? Christ. And it is a prayer that we can pray on the level of father, son, or daughter, or friend level. So we can approach God as a father to make supplication. And we can approach God as a friend to make God supplication. But we cannot approach God as a judge for supplication. Are we there? Good. Now, let's look at the kinds of supplication that we make. So have I helped you? So Paul was saying that when they want to pray, when they go to God, they must make a heartfelt, earnest request. Honest, heartfelt, earnestly, heartfelt request to God. Not just anything. It said that kind of prayer is what you should do. If you read the message, can you read the message translation? Message translation of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Read it for me. Whilst we prepare for the kinds of prayer. There are three kinds of supplication that is in the Bible. And we are going to look at them. Hallelujah. Amen. Heartfelt, earnest, earnestly request. Message Bible. Let's listen to what he said about prayer.
1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1 from the Message Bible.
Okay.
The first thing I want you to do is pray.
Uh-huh.
Pray every way you know how.
Pray every way you know what?
How? For everyone you know. Pray especially for rulers and their governments to rule well, so we can be quietly about our business.
Let's end it there. The whole thing I wanted to say is that what he wanted them to do is to pray. Pray anyhow you know. Pray. Pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, kinds of supplication. The first supplication in scripture that we can make is the supplication to God for ourselves. A heartfelt, humble, earnest request to God for our physical and spiritual needs. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. So there's a supplication that you make for yourself. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Can we read? Be careful for what? Nothing. But in everything, by what? Prayer and what? And what? God. With thanksgiving, let your heart, personal request be made known unto what? God. So we can approach God in supplication as a father for ourselves. And this is our personal request. It should be a heartfelt. We can approach God for our needs. Physical and spiritual needs. What are some of the physical needs? Money. Good job. Breakthrough. If you're having your own business, the growth and expansion of the business. A man approached God and said, enlarge my coast. And God did it. Didn't he? So we can go to God for our physical needs. Don't think that God has, you know, the Bible says we can make supplication heartfelt. The only problem is that it is not a heartfelt. It's not an earnest prayer. That is why I'm not seeing the result. As long as it's heartfelt, born from genuineness, God will attend to it. Spiritual needs. Many people don't know that. Can you give me an example of spiritual needs? Knowledge. Understanding. Protection. Preservation. Wisdom. Strength. These are spiritual needs. Joy in the Holy Ghost. You can go to God and make honest, heartfelt prayer. Lord, I need wisdom to manage this situation. Lord, I need knowledge to deal with this matter. And this is supplication. And God what? Answer your supplication. So, when we want to make supplication, what Paul was talking about here in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. One form of that supplication is for ourselves. Please, don't forget to make supplication for yourself. Some people, some of them, I don't blame them, because one of the things that makes it difficult for people to make supplication to God is because of naturally they don't have that kind of father-child thing. If you really have that thing with your father, it is easy to go to God. Please, I pray that if there is any emotional deficiency, may God heal you in the name of Jesus. You think, oh, you can pray to God for money for business. Oh, can't you see some people are giving testimony about it? Oh. Be genuine about it. Be earnest in it. Let it be a heartfelt and be humble about it. Tell God, Lord, I want to do this business. I need 40,000 Ghana cedis. This is my request. Thank you, Father. And you see that by night, there will be an encounter. And that is where God will show you what to do. That 40,000 will come. Some, to some extent, if it is a need, God will give you a miracle money. Yeah. If to some extent, God will give you a miracle money. A friend of mine is now in Dubai. Was preparing for marriage. Love. And about few days to the wedding, some money that we were looking forward didn't come. People promised. Yes. And they needed about 2,000 Ghana cedis as an emergency. So my brother went to pray and then thank God. The following day, a money was credited to his bank account. They called a bank. They said they don't know where the money is coming from. They waited till today. We don't know where the money came from. 2,000 Ghana cedis. We think miracle money is not. He made a supplication, heartfelt, and God knew about it. The Bible said God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and his glory. It's not a lie. Because he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, that we can think or even ask of. What are you telling me? You're not honest about it. That's why you're not seeing it. It's not a heartfelt thing. But if you are broken, a contrite heart and a broken spirit, the Lord will never overlook. If you go in that contrite heart, a broken spirit, and come honest to your father, Father, you know I need this. You will see that indeed, he's not as a wicked father. Who his children will ask of him bread, and he'll give a stone. Let us not make it loose like God is a wicked father. Know how to approach him. Do it right. And you see the result. Hallelujah. Number two. As I said, time factor. So I want to quickly go through this. So we can make supplication for ourselves, for our physical needs and spiritual needs. You yourself, when you say, you see that your knowledge level in the things of God is, you can make supplication. He said, the Spirit shall teach you. He shall teach you. Himself shall teach you. There are certain things I cannot teach you from the pulpit. The Holy Spirit will teach you if you go to you when you ask. There are certain encounters, it is when you go to him, you encounter wisdom. These are spiritual needs. The believer must flow in them. Strength. Strength. The ability to endure for long. The ability to stand. These things are things of the spirit. In the book of James, he said, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him what? Ask. I pray for you. What have you placed before God today? That's why I wanted us to pray. We will make supplication. We will make supplication. The only condition is that it should be what? Heartfelt. It should be honest. And it should come in a humble manner. Hallelujah. Number two. We can make supplication to God on behalf of the saints, which are other believers, and also for the church. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and what? Supplication in the spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance. And what? Supplication for all saints. So, it is not only you, your request, that you can take to God. You can approach God on behalf of other people's request. This is also called the prayer of agreement. This is not intercession. This is what? Supplication. So, Elder Blaze can approach me and say, oh, Pastor, I want to start a business and I want you to pray for me. That request is what? A request of supplication. That's not an intercession. I can go to God and out of a heartfelt, I'll beseech God and I'll ask God that God will attend to his what? His needs. Praying for all saints. Physical needs. Spiritual needs. And if you study the book of Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, most of the prayers that Paul prayed, it was supplication for the church. Can we take examples? Let's look at some of them. Philippians chapter 4. Yes, verse 12. Philippians 4, 12. That's a Philippians, sorry. Colossians 4, verse 12. Colossians 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of what, Christ, saluted you, always laboring what? Fervently for you in what? Prayers. That ye may stand what? Perfect and complete in all the will of God. That is one of the duty of a pastor, to make supplications for you. So we see that Epaphras was praying for the church of Colossae. Fervently. The word fervent means what? Earnestly. That they will be what? Complete. You see, if you are in a church where they are not praying for you, there is no supplication upon any trouble for you. Because one of the character of Paul was that he prays for the church. Yes, Epaphras. Let's look at Paul. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 16. Common prayer topic we all know. Let's see Paul praying for the church of Ephesus. Praying for the saints over there. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my heart prayers. Now if you read, you see the prayer topic he was praying for them. So we can go to God in a heartfelt, honest, and earnestly request that God will give you wisdom. God will grant you your needs. This is supplication. So if somebody is looking up to God for the seed of the womb and he comes to us, by the principle of supplication, we can go to God and request, and God will do it. So even if you don't know how to do the supplication, you come. This is what many people have taken advantage of, and they are charging people. Yes, it is scriptural to pray for all saints, make supplication for saints. God will attend to you, because he himself said, do what? Make supplication for saints. So as he stands here, if there is anybody with a need, I can pray for you, we can pray for you, make request, and that need must be granted, because it is scriptural that we pray for all saints. That is why if you don't have a spiritual family, you are doomed. Because there are certain requests you need more than one person to. It should be a corporate request. Not corporate request, but more than one voice saying it. Oh Lord, let me give you a typical example in scripture. Do you remember that there was a man who came to Jesus and requested of Jesus in the book of, I think the book of Luke. You can find that scripture for me. That the servant was sick and that Jesus should come and pray for him. The Bible said Jesus didn't mind him. Then the people over there, the Jewish people, they went to Jesus and said, this request, you will do it. No. Not as long as we are here, you attend to this request. The reason that this man has built a synagogue for us, he's a good man. The Bible said instantly Jesus changed his mind. Sometimes Jesus will not mind you, but when 2-3 people come in, he will change his mind. Supplication for all saints. They compelled Jesus. Jesus unwillingly he did it. I pray for you. Now, this is where spiritual family is very essential. You go to church and you are just an associate in the church. You're not a family member. Nobody knows you. You don't talk to anybody. You're not like that to anybody. How can we even pick up your concern and pray for you? Some of you are. The reason why the request, because that request, it may require other people to bear witness to it. Do you agree with me now? So there are certain prayers when you are praying and it is not coming. You have to realize that at this point, this request, there's a need for other saints to what? Make supplication for me. You bring it, and out of our heartfelt, honest, humble request, God will what? Do it. That is one of the reasons why you should have a spiritual family. That's one of the reasons you come for corporate what? Prayers. You know, sometimes you can call somebody out and pastor, I'm trying to explain this thing to you. We can call, we are praying, I mean, making supplication for all saints. We can call somebody out and say, can we pray for the person? Do we do that at church? That is supplication for all saints. Oh, this person is not well. Let's pray for the person. Is God not answering those prayers? He's doing them. In other words, you can practice supplication as a personal prayer life or as a corporate what? Prayer gathering. We can practice it. Are we blessed today? So we can make supplication that God will meet the request of others, being it spiritual or physical. Do you have any request today? That is why there is some time I was asking you to write your prayer request and bring them. It's because of the principle of what? Supplication. That when I go, I say, Lord, you said we should pray for all saints. This is their request. Let us what? Pray for them. Pray! Then we pray. Heartfelt. And God what? So this was where the matter of great faith was what? Mentioned. Are we all on the same page? Let's look at another scripture here quickly. Philippians chapter 1 verse 9 to 10. Paul was still praying for the church. And this I ought, I pray, that your love may ought abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. He was praying for love for the church, the individuals in the church. So here we can pray for the saints. We can also pray for the church as a whole. These are some of the prayer topics we can pray. Number one, stay to this same scripture. We can pray for love and unity of the body of Christ. You can take these scriptures, number one. Number two, we can read the book of John chapter 17 verse 9 to 11. We find out that Jesus was praying for the church. John 17 verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are not thine. Verse 10. All and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thy own name those that whom hast given me, that they may be what? One, as we ought. We must always pray for the unity of the church. If you continue to the verse 20 and 21, you find out that Jesus was not talking about only the disciples, but those who will be added to the church. We can make supplication to God that the church will be bounded in the heart, called of what? Unity and love. Are we there? Amen. Are we there? Number two, we can pray for revival and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church. Supplication. That's supplication. In the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 31, the Bible says, when they had prayed, that is where supplication becomes a corporate work. Yeah, they dealt with it as a corporate work. The Bible says, when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with all boldness. If you read the account of Luke said that, is it Luke or Acts? I'm coming, I want to be sure. When Jesus ascended and they left, the Bible said they came back and they were praying with all supplication. They were making supplication in the church together. And that supplication was the coming of what? The Holy Spirit. So we can pray for the church that there will be what? Revival. There will be what? The release of what? The Spirit. And that is what? Supplication for all saints. Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1. Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of what? Rain to every one grass in the field. I pray for you. May God release the latter rain on your grass. I pray that God will release the latter rain on you in the name of Jesus. So here a supplication was requested that we will pray for revival. So when we want to call for revival, it is a supplication, an earnest request. earnestly, fervently, heartfelt prayer, making requests. So supplication is a very big deal. And you find out that practically, most of our prayers is supplication. Do you agree with me? That is why Paul separated it from, because most of our prayers is a prayer of what? Supplication. And one of the very important prayers we can pray for the church is that God will raise men as gifts. I mean, Ephesians chapter 4 said he gave men as what? Gifts. For the harvest purpose. Matthew chapter 9 verse 37. One of the prayers we had to pray in the church now. We have to pray to God that he'll send laborers, workers, church workers. Men as gifts. Raise them. Yes. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest is really what? It's plenteous. But the laborers are what? Few. He didn't ask you to go and get the laborers. Now, what is your job? What is your job? Pray ye therefore that the Lord of what? The harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. He didn't ask you to go and be a laborer or get a laborer. It is not on the duty of the believer. The duty of you that we can get laborers in the church is to what? Pray to the Lord of harvest to send laborers. Supplication for the church. Do you pray for this church that God will send laborers? Do you pray? We need a lot of laborers. We need a lot of them. And it's one of the prayers I pray. That God will send what? Laborers. Send men as what? Gifts. Raise men as what? Gifts. So unto them he gave them what? Saul. But David, he what? He raised for them. I pray that we will pray for this church. We pray for the body of Christ. That God, you see, we need laborers in this end time. Let me tell you, there are few men of God, and the rest are talkers. People who are genuine with their job, very few. And the work is becoming huge and huge. Only few are in line with God. We need to pray for more laborers. We need to pray for what? Even this ministry, we need more laborers. Those that God will send to other parts of the country to do the job. Hallelujah. Now the third form of supplication is supplication for those in authority and all men, which includes unbelievers. It will surprise you that God said, God is asking us that we should make earnestly heartfelt requests for unbelievers. If you don't know, I'm telling you today. Some of you, you have never prayed for any unbeliever before in your life. Because for you, God, they don't need prayers. Paul said, first of all, I beseech you that prayers, supplication, prayers, intercession and whatnot, be made for all men, including unbelievers. That all men include what? Unbelievers. So another form of our supplication is towards unbelievers and those in authority. Can I give you reasons why if you don't pray this prayer, you are in danger? Supplication for all men, especially those in authority and unbeliever, is necessary because it contributes to your life of peace and quietness. I will keep on blaming the church for whatever state Ghana will become if we are not having peace in this country. If we pray, we make supplication for those in authority rather than attacking them. And unbelievers, we will have peace. You want peace, but you're not choosing the mode of peace. The Bible says we're going to have a quiet and a peaceful life. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2. Quiet and a peaceful life. Do you know that there is no prosperity without peace? And you know the first sign of prosperity is peace. How many of you know that? The first sign of prosperity is peace. Where there is no peace, there can never be prosperity. You want to be blessed financially? You need peace. You want to be promoted? You need peace. Any form of prosperity that you look up to, it is peace that guarantees it. Peace and quiet life. Do you know a quiet life? A life without trouble. So like today, you see all your faces over here, you are troubled. Because I believe some of you, you had your light at 3 a.m. and mosquitoes and the heat ministered to your knees. Yeah. Is that a peaceful life? You complain. It will continue. Until we resolve some matters in prayer. See, I'm not saying that prayer will do everything, no. But I said it contributes. The key word is what? So there's an aspect of supplication that contributes to the peace and the quiet life we will live as a result of making them for those in authority. I've been sleeping late nights because I don't have light. I came to church on Wednesday with an iron clothes. That's not a peaceful life. Should I complain? Would that solve it? I have to pray because it will contribute to it. If you are here and you don't like what the government is doing to you, make supplication to them, God, for them. It will help. If you don't do it, because that aspect has been ignored, the peace of the nation will not come for you to have peace. If you like, can decide not to do it. We will all not live in it. See, you are in a hurry to leave the country. Do you know those who pray for? Let's continue. Number two. It contributes to our life of godliness and honesty. You see, let me tell you this. Godly life is not a life of isolation. Godliness is the word I would use to define godliness is you becoming God, the nature of God coming out of you. I tell you, your environment can impact it. If the environment you find yourself is so charged with all kinds and manner of demonic ideas and practices, I can tell you that godliness will be very difficult for you. Let me set an example. It will be very difficult for you to be a serious Christian in Las Vegas as compared to Ghana. Do you know Las Vegas? We call it the Sin City. A city has given its own name, that my name is the city of what? Sin. If you live in Las Vegas and you don't pray, the things you have not requested, it shall be granted unto you in Jesus' name. Now, do you see the kind of things we find ourselves? Now, it's very difficult to open certain app and website because what you didn't request shall be added onto it. Press down. Shake. Ah, Lord Jesus. Run it over. Shall men bring unto your heart bosom. Your godliness is under threat. Especially we the men. Three of us. So if we don't make supplicate, it contributes to the godliness. See, there's a way we can pray and arrest the atmosphere. That holiness shall take over the atmosphere. We can. A man went to a city, had a crusade, and over years, alcohol was not sold over there. So if you have issues with alcohol, if you're in that city, you will live a godly life because there's no alcohol. But if you have issues with alcohol, in Ghana here, hallelujah. Are we there? So supplication is a requisite prayer we have to make for those in authority. Imagine the government of Ghana signed up that there should be LGBTQ. Like, sister, you'll be passing by and somebody go, tss. And you see a man standing in front of you, toasting you. He will toast you. Yes. So, just imagine it. I'm here. You can't do anything. We want godliness.
But you don't know that prayer is a product of godliness. So you must pray for the territory you find yourself. You must pray for all men and those in authority especially. That we can live a godly life. Honest is when you are able to deal fair with people. See, if God does not help you, people will let you be dishonest. Because the way people deal with you, you also want to deal with them. It is very difficult to do good to people because human beings by nature are ungrateful. And their ungratefulness can make you a dishonest person. Because when you are honest with them, have I shared this story before? Let me share it again. When we're in UCC, I spoke to you about some bread issue. Do you remember? Okay, maybe forgotten. There was this young lady who used to come to Casper to sell bread to us. Those days, the bread was one CD. When she brings it to the hall. Not knowing, she was staying in one of the routes we use. We call it Apeuska. We use that route to old site. If you know UCC very well, or you are familiar with Cape Coast, you know Apeuska is a community around the university. UCC is one of the universities that has a community within it. We are not far from the community. So we closed from lecture that day with my roommate, Simon. And we are coming, we met this girl. So we gave her one CD, not two CDs, to buy bread. And she gave us four. Because we are not at the hall, she came here. Then we said, we were buying two CDs. One is 50 pesos. I said, but you sell it one CD. I said, I'm missing my badminton one CD. So from that, we also learn our lessons. You don't buy the bread when she comes. You walk. Cast for to Apple Sky is not small genuine. But because of dishonesty, that she was not honest with us, we walk there. Do you know why? To them, the students are rich. So if they are to sell it to their own people, it is half the price to sell it to the student. If you live in such a community and find that somebody has dealt with you this way, what will you do? If the person comes to you, you also make sure that an eye for an eye. Honesty, it will be a difficult thing to practice because of the atmosphere. So we need to pray for all men. Do you know that a rule can be set that can make you a dishonest person? Now, if your boss says, go and pay the bribe, will you say you not pay? If you don't pray for some of your boss will let you do things that you can't do. If you don't do it, you lose your job. They first sat on the board meeting, never agreed that they'll cheat the country, they'll steal some of the money of the country. You alone, you want to be the reason you do not sign. What they'll do to you yourself, you sign. But when you pray for them, and the Spirit of God takes over them. The Bible says that when we make supplication for all men, it is good and acceptable in the sight of God because it is a means by which the knowledge of the truth of God and salvation reaches the people. And I'm going to show you how supplication, request, prayer request can make an unbeliever born again. Sometimes you don't understand why at crusades people are not born again. They'll come there and we will pray for them and then they'll get healing. You don't know that supplication can lead them to salvation. Paul said it. He said that it is good and acceptable in the sight of God that all men shall come to the knowledge of what? The truth, and shall be saved. And it is through our supplication can contribute to it. Honest, heartfelt request. If a Muslim calls you right now and said that, I have something, pray for me, will you pray? You think God will not do it? Don't know, certain miracles is can lead to salvation. I've shared a story with you here about my father, my late father, that there was this fetish priest whose wife was pregnant for 1 month, 1 year, 6 months, because a curse was placed on the woman that she would not give birth. And my father, this is Japan, in the 1970s, in his early stage of ministry. So he was passing by. I know my father, the way he is, I pray for that grace. He's very friendly to everybody. Then this fetish priest approached my father and told him. His gods couldn't do it, so he came for help. Not that he wants to be born again, no. So who should pray for the wife?
My father called his prayer team. Then my mom was part. They went there. That day, the woman entered into forced labor. In that day, prayed for her, laid her on the stomach, prayed over her water, gave it to her, and she entered into forced labor. By the evening, she gave birth. That was how the entire family became Christians. He had three wives. All the three wives, their children, himself, at church. If it were you, will you make that supplication? The Bible said it is acceptable that God will have all men. When we know how to make certain prayers, certain encounters people will have, God will answer requests that will bring them to the kingdom. I tell you, one miracle, one breakthrough can convert somebody to Christianity. But we don't know. And this is supplication. Now, I want us to read something. Oh, Jesus. We will be praying soon. Let's go to the book of 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 15. And I'll talk about what kind of supplication we can make for people in authority and unbelievers. Are you there? Are you being blessed? And he returned to the man of God and he and all his company and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. This was a man who was an army general but was hurt with leprosy. I'm talking about the story of what? Haman. And the Bible said a young lady who was with her, her wife, told her that there is a prophet in Israel. I know. If you go to him, master will be cured. The Bible said the army general spoke to his king and the king called or sent a message to the king of Israel. The king of Israel rent his clothes. He said, am I God? And the prophet heard it. And you know which prophet I'm talking about? Elisha. He said, no. How should the king do that? Tell him to come and I'll show him that there's a prophet in Israel. The Bible said this man came and the prophet gave him an instruction. For all you know, you heard about the aspect of the instruction, but I tell you, in behind the scene, the man has already offered prayer to God. And when this unbeliever went into the river of Jordan and dipped himself, and he came out of that breakthrough, he came to the knowledge of the truth that there is only one God. I pray for you. You see, some of these people will come across your way. Don't be thinking, see, one miracle can sow a seed of truth. There are other people who have an encounter with Christians, and even though they cannot leave their faith, they acknowledge that we carry the truth. I pray for you that we will understand that we can make supplication, honest, heartfelt request, and God will grant it. Quickly, what are some of the prayer requests we can make or supplication we can make for unbelievers? Number one, we can make supplication to God that they will encounter salvation. We can make requests to God that they will encounter salvation. Number two, we can make requests to God for unbelievers that God will provide their physical needs. Yes. You see? That the Bible said that God, he gave both rain for the wicked and what? The righteous. That neighbor of yours, if you don't pray that God will grant his need, he will be the same person who come and attack you. There are certain things the person doesn't need to be born again. God will do it for his sure mercies, and it is a way to draw them. We can pray to God that God will grant them their physical needs as a way of getting them. It will also give you a peace of mind. Those in authority, I have only two. Then we are going to pray. We have to pray for those in authority. The supplication is that we will pray that God will give them wisdom, his wisdom, to rule. If you leave them and you don't pray, the devil will give them his ideas. See, God can use anybody. Even Nebuchadnezzar, God used him. When you pray, God can arrest that man. Because of you, God can arrest that that man, that leader, that your boss who is not born again, God can arrest him. And he will be a conduit of what God will be doing. Yes. We have to pray for God's wisdom. God's wisdom for them. One other prayer, if you pray for those in authority, is that we pray for their preservation and protection. Pray for their preservation and protection. Because all authorities are established by God. Romans chapter 13. Administrative authority, God permitted it. So don't think that God does not know. No. There are some people, God placed them there, for he himself allowed it. You have to pray for their preservation. Supplication is a powerful tool the believer must learn. The underlying thing about supplication is that it should be a heartfelt. Can you rise to your feet this morning with me? In the next 10-15 minutes, we are going to pray. You are going to practice supplication unto God. I am of all surety that there is something you need from God this morning. I want you to lift up your voice and make a supplication unto God. Oh, fella kumpala kasataya. Oh, rasindo velendo kobosaya. Oh, vedo la kande vebrasataka. Lekumaladina vasoteke. Oh, vedede kumele kuvabrasaya.
Just breathe the name upon me. So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.